the end of the rainbow keeps moving. Have you ever tried to find the end of a rainbow? I used to do that all the time when I was a kid in Palola Valley. I'd say, rainbow, we just run, because we knew there was a pot of gold there. And then we get there, aye, mofaye, and you'd run again. It was right by the Nakahara's house, and I'd run, aye, by the Takanaka's house, you run again. When you're chasing the end of a rainbow, it keeps moving further and further away, and you never get anything but tired.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Have you ever noticed how the world defines success? It usually has a lot to do with financial riches, so we spend our energy chasing after that elusive pot of gold, thinking it will bring success. Well, today Pastor Wayne will show us that there's a huge difference between being rich financially and being rich toward God. Here he is with a message entitled, Rich Toward God.
Today I'm going to talk about how to be rich towards God and how to expend the energy of your life in such a way that it brings you a balanced life. Because in today's economy, we can try to keep up with the Joneses and thinking that that's where life is going to be found, and all the while not realizing that you're forfeiting life along the way, chasing an elusive rabbit. And once you get there, you find life isn't there. You've given it up. You've traded it away. You forfeited it because we didn't recognize what life is all about and what being rich towards God is all about. The other day, I was going to my car, and I have a neighbor that she's one of these real high-maintenance ladies, you know. It's got Gucci this, Gucci bag, Gucci everything, Gucci. And she's just one of these high-nosed ladies, and she drives a Ferrari. Now, I want to tell you how much a Ferrari costs. It's a 599 model. I checked it out. $264,000. That's what she drives. And so she was walking to her car, and I thought I'd be nice. And so I said, hey, good morning. And she gave me the iciest stare that I've ever gotten, almost as if she were to say, you're not worth the breath that it takes to reply. And so she just walked by me like this. And I was thinking in my mind, sell that ugly car and get a life. Junk your car, junk. Sometimes we don't know what life is, and we trade life along the way. We ruin relationships and friendships because we think life is made up of some painted iron that goes down the road on rubber wheels. On the other hand, a few years ago, I was in the Philippines, and we saw these kids in this back lot, dusty back lot, and bumpy roads to get there. And these kids with just short pants, bare feet, were playing soccer with this dilapidated volleyball that had a hole in it, so it was just kind of the carcass left of this volleyball. But they were laughing, having fun, and the parents were around having a picnic with whatever, you know, they had. It wasn't much, but boy, they were just having a great time. But we looked, and it was, you know, makeshift goals, not a very good ball, no equipment. And a pastor friend of mine who was with me turned to me and said, man, these people are poor. And I said to him, who told them they're poor? Who told them they're poor? They probably have more life here than we have over there. And I began to think about what life is really made out of. And I'm wondering if we could be barking up the wrong tree, thinking that certain things bring life when it doesn't. In the book of Luke, chapter 12, there's a man that the Bible talks about that thought that life was encapsulated in his bank account. And so he amassed a huge bankroll, thinking that that's what was going to bring him security and close friendships. And when he amassed a whole bunch, he still had an empty soul. So he thought, I'm just going to need more then. So the Bible says he began to build bigger barns to contain the amount he was amassing. And he accumulated even more, thinking now he's going to have life. Didn't have it. He built more barns. And the Bible says one day he died and he missed life altogether. And then the Bible has a wonderful scripture, and it's going to come up on the screen. And let's read it together. It's at the top of your notes. Would you read it with me? Go. So is the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Would you underline, not rich toward God? We want to talk about how to posture your life in such a way that you and I can be rich toward God. See, what happens is this man was expending his time in an unbalanced way, thinking that if I amassed and accumulated this, at the end of that rainbow will be life, only to find the end of the rainbow keeps moving. Have you ever tried to find the end of a rainbow? I used to do that all the time when I was a kid in Palolo Valley. I'd say, rainbow, we just run, because we knew there was a pot of gold there. And then we get there, aye, we'll fly it. And you'd run again. It was right by the Nakahara's house. And I'd run, aye, by the Takanaka's house. You run again. When you're chasing the end of a rainbow, it keeps moving further and further away, and you never get anything but tired. So you expend your energy in a wrong way, or you live an unbalanced life. Well, two questions come. Well, you said first is, well, how then do you live a balanced life? And then, if I live the balanced life, what will the results be? Let me talk to you a little bit about how to live a balanced life from the scriptures and from my own life. Often people will come to me and say, Wayne, how do you spend your time? Because, you know, you just got so much time. How do you spend your time? So that after 10 years, you look back and see benefit. You see fruitfulness. You see something of abundance because Jesus came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. So how do you get that? And my answer is, you know, I don't really see my life in terms of hours. How do you spend your time? Well, an hour here and 2 hours here and so many hours here. I actually have in my life, I measure it in terms of energy or pockets of energy. I have just so much energy during the day, and it changes during your lifetime, but I have certain pockets of energy, and my greatest asset isn't time, because we all have the same amount of time. But the question is, how are you going to utilize that with the energy you have? Because if you don't have energy, you can sit there and you can be sort of just staring into the wilderness and do zip, or someone else can do more in 2 hours than someone else could do in 2 days. Your greatest asset really isn't time. Would you write in your notes, your greatest asset is actually energy. Energy. Because if you've got the energy, you can do the things that you're supposed to do. You can take the time. And it's not just spending time, but it's taking that time in order to convert it into deeper relationships. Taking time and convert it into a relationship with your children. Take a certain amount of time and convert it into something that will be beneficial. So your greatest asset isn't time, it's energy, because energy converts time into a higher strata, something greater of benefit. Time in itself is raw. You mix it with the right amount of energy that's appropriate, and it converts it into something greater. Now, that's why with your time, you've got to make sure, and your energy, that you invest it wisely. Invest it wisely. That's exactly what the book of Psalms says. Let's take a look at Psalms 90 and verse 12, and let's read it together. Go. So teach us to number our days that we might present a heart of wisdom. When you number your days or you invest it wisely, that is what brings wisdom. And if we squander our energy or use it poorly, then we are known as someone who's not very wise. So how do you use your energy? Well, the first is you need to invest it wisely. Well, you say, well, how in the world do you invest it wisely? Let me give you something that's very basic, but it's so important to what we're going to talk about today. And that is this. You need to know the difference or discern the difference between that which is eternal from that which is temporal. What is eternal from that which is temporal? Because you're going to have to invest energy in both. There's some things that are for this life and it won't be anymore. There's other things that are going to be forever. See, the Bible says, store up for yourselves not just treasures on the earth where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, nor thieves break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So he's saying, make sure you're storing up for yourself treasures in heaven, not just on earth, because one will leave your soul empty if you have an unbalanced investment of energy in just one. You've got to know both. So you say, well, if you're storing up treasures in heaven, what's going to be in heaven? Well, I have a friend that loves surfing, and he says, in heaven, it's just going to be one big wave that just keeps going and going and going, never stop. Okay. I have another friend, he's real big, and he says, it's going to be pizza. You can eat and eat and eat and never get full. That's his concept of heaven. Now, I don't know about pizza and surf, but I do know two things that'll be in heaven. Number one, I know Jesus is going to be there. And number two, I know people are going to be there. So what would be eternal? Here's some eternal investments, real simple. Anything you invest in Jesus or your growth in Christ, or when you invest in people, in relationships, that's going to be eternal. Eternal. In fact, the greatest commandment of all is exactly that. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So if you think of those three, God, others, yourself, that's the greatest commandment of all. You need to invest in that. Otherwise, we'll deplete our energy, pockets of energy, and we will not have anything left for eternity. And then you'll have an empty soul. Now, for me, this is just theoretical. It may not be the same for everybody, but there's certain pockets of energy that you'll have. I say I have about 6 pockets of energy in a day, and I can do 6 things. A pocket of energy is sort of, you take energy and you put it, invest it, and it converts some time into something beneficial. You're putting concentrated effort to it, and so it converts it. So I usually have 6 pockets of energy. I can do 6 things during the day, and then I'm kind of depleted after that. Now, some that are younger might have more energy. They might have 7 pockets of energy, but everyone will have around between 4 and 7 pockets of energy that you can invest. Now, you need to make sure that you have a balanced life, because let's say, just for example, let's say I have 6 pockets of energy, and it'll be just illustrated here by just these 6 squares or 6 packets. And usually, I need to make sure that I'm investing in eternity as well as things that are temporal. So the first thing I do when people ask, how do you use your time? Now, how do I invest my energy to convert time? So I do it in pockets of energy. So the first is this. I actually take the first one and I invest it in whom? God, your vertical relationship with Him. So that's why in the mornings I'll get up and do daily devotions. I have to exert energy for that. So I take that and I begin to invest in that. That takes me an hour and a half or whatever, an hour, 45 minutes, whatever. But that's a pocket of energy. I need to invest that. Now, the next 3, I'm actually going to invest in work or at the office or ministries. If you're a student, you'll invest 3 pockets of that in academic endeavors. If you're a homemaker, in your home, in projects. If you're a businessman, in your business or your corporation. Whatever it might be, but you're going to be investing sometime. Even if you're retired, can I encourage you? You've got 3 pockets of energy you need to give away. That's a part of a balanced life. So if you become sedentary, it starts to shrink. Your life begins to shrink. So you've got some energy. And one of the good things about New Hope is that we have so many ways that you can volunteer and give time to and energy to. You need to do that. That's the way we're created. But here's what I notice. I notice that before I'm depleted, I need to go home because I need 2 more pockets of energy. And the next one is actually, I need to reserve a pocket of energy for my spouse and my family. If you're depleted at work and you come home fried, you have nothing left to give. Relationships that are eternal will start to shrink down. You'll still have a wife, but the relationship part will be very shallow. So I keep a pocket of energy for my spouse and my family. And if you're a student, you say, well, if I'm not married, you still have a family. You have close relationships. What are they? Identify that. That's your family unit. Then you need to invest in that. And then the last, which doesn't even seem like it's appropriate for Christians, but it really is, you need to invest in yourself. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as If you don't have this down, you have nothing left to give anybody else. There's a chain reaction that is diminishing in returns. Sometimes we say, well, I don't need to puff myself up. No, but you need time to exercise, maybe solitude, maybe to read a book, maybe to think and reflect over your day. Because remember, just because you had an experience during the day doesn't make you any wiser. No, experience alone can turn you sour. But experience plus reflection equals insight. You need time to think about what's going on in your life. Many people never take time, never pull their oars out of the water to turn around to see the direction they're going. They just keep going for 20 years and they realize they're going for the wrong port. So you need that time. It's really important that we take time for self. Then you're investing in eternity as well as that which is temporal, things on the earth. Now you have a balanced life. But here's what we do in America a lot of times, because we're trying to get ahead. We're trying to keep up with the Joneses. We're trying to find life. So we say, I don't really have time for devotions. So I actually borrow that pocket of energy, and guess where we give it to? Work. And now we say, okay, now I've got to get to work. Now I got to do this and I do that. And it seems to work because now you're getting promoted. You're spending a little bit more time at work. And then what happens is I just need a little bit more time because I got to get ahead. We got to do this. We got to do that because we don't want to be poor. And so I take the time that I should have given to my spouse and my family. And guess what I do? I give it to work. This is the American way. And so now we've got more packets of energy going to make money. Now what happens is you start to get ahead, because anybody that expends that much time along the way in one thing, you'll do better, especially if you're putting energy to it, not just time, energy to it. You're being industrious. But the danger of this is now what's happening is you're becoming a one-dimensional person. And you're going to have a desire for healthy, deep relationships, and you don't have it at home because you're always fried when you go home. So here's the danger point. You start to develop a yearning for deep relationships, and you're going to look for it at work. And that's the beginnings of downward slides. You have to listen real carefully, because we're trading eternal things for temporal things. Now, here's what I did for a long time. I violated this last piece. Because I thought, you know what? I shouldn't be me. I mean, I should look out for me. I shouldn't worry about me, because this is a Christian thing. I need to put myself aside. So I stopped looking after myself, stopped the exercising, and just started putting more stuff into ministry. And so what happened was now you've got all these pockets of energy going to one thing. Now what happens is you may get ahead. Especially if you're gifted, if you're sharp, if you're good and entrepreneurial, if you're innovative, and you're putting energy, not just time, energy to this, well, what's going to happen is you will get ahead. But in doing so, what happens is you begin to shallow out what is eternal, which are relationships vertically with others that are close to you and your family and your spouse and yourself. So you lay it all down. But here's a crazy thing in America. When we do something like this and we start to get ahead, for years and years and years, this is what we've been taught. That is called what? Success. We have nothing left in our homes, but don't say anything about that. You're just successful. So now just kind of show up and manage the image of success. And if you don't, I'll find somebody that does. But really what the Bible says, this isn't success. It really brings what? An emptiness to our souls, because there's nothing eternal left. And this is where people walk away from God and we instead trade it for mammon or what we think will bring life, but it doesn't. Would you write in your notes, success without healthy, here it is, relationships brings only emptiness, emptiness to our souls. Success without healthy relationships only brings emptiness. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about some scriptures that speak towards that. And let's read it together. And this is about the children of Israel in the desert. And they began to crave certain things. We want meat. We want this. We want that. We're tired of manna every day. Manna. Manna for breakfast. Manna for lunch. Manna for dinner. We're tired of manna, banana bread, and manicotti, and all of this stuff. We don't want manna anymore. Give us meat. And so the Bible says this. Let's read it together. Go. They did not wait for his counsel and tested God in the wilderness. He gave them their requests, but sent leanness into their souls. Would you underline leanness? Which means, listen, haven't you ever craved something so much that you would do anything to get it? You would even compromise and shuck and jive a little bit. And then when you get it, later on you think, this isn't what I really wanted. That's it. It's a leanness in your soul. And that's why we must invest our energy wisely to know what's eternal and what's temporal. Let's look at this next scripture. Would you read it with me? This is out of Isaiah about compressing our lives so there's no space left for the eternal. Read it with me. Go. Woe to those who add house to house and field to field until there is no more room. Result? So that you have to live alone in the midst of the land. Would you underline live alone? There's an emptiness that comes to our soul when we compress our lives so much that we just can't get any more in it. Now, as we're talking about the eternal and that which is temporal, I want you to see with me that there are certain things that are crucial in life, and you've got to keep the balance in that eternal things. If you lose that balance, then you miss life. Here's the eternal things, number one, number five, and number six. Those are things you've got to invest in eternal things. Now, the things that are temporal, but it's important for us to do well in, it's 2, 3, and 4. And you put energy towards that. Now, some people might have another pocket, number 5, that's kind of between 4 and 5, 4.5. Someone will say, well, I coach kids, and after school I do. That's great. But what you're going to do if you think this way, when the kids say, hey, let's play soccer, let's have a scrimmage game, and you say, no, I need to go home. Well, you still have energy left. I know, that's why I have to go home. I've got to save a pocket of energy for my spouse and my family and for myself. So what happens is you make the next move not when you're depleted. Think about it in terms of a relay runner. He doesn't hand the baton off when he's fully exhausted or depleted, does he? And when you're moving from energy to energy or project to project or event to event, you want to make sure that you're moving at the top of your stride so you have enough energy for that which is eternal. And then we'll understand what it means to be rich towards God. That's the kind of life we want to live. How many of you would agree with me on that? Would you? Yeah, that's it. Let's stand together as we conclude. I'm going to pray and ask God to remind us so that we will be able to go over what you just heard and weave it into the fabric of your soul. It will help you immensely so that when you know that if you do another activity before home, you'll be fried when you go home, then you know when to stop. And so that you're not on the edge when you're home. But you go home and there's time to invest in that which is eternal. And then you understand what it means to be rich towards God. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Father, thank you so very much for your love and grace on our lives. Thank you for helping us to understand what it means to be rich towards God. Lord, we ask that you would take what we've been learning, weave it into the fabric of our hearts and help us to live more like you designed us to live, so that everything that you want us to have and delight in us having will be given to us. Help us not to be swayed in the wrong way, thinking that life is at the end of a rainbow that continually seems to be elusive. Then we'll spend a whole lifetime looking for something that's not there and having forfeited along the way. We don't want to do that. So help us to learn what it means early on to be rich towards God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You have just heard a message entitled Rich Toward God by Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Thank you for listening. Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Dill Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.